Do you lead a team? If so, do you wish you had a clear, concise guide on how to do it better? Well, now you do, in the form of The Manager's Handbook, 5 simple steps to build a team, stay focused, make better decisions, and crush your competition by David Dodson. David has been a consultant and serial entrepreneur and is currently on the faculty of Stanford University's Graduate School of Business. Here he is to share 5 of his big ideas.
My name is Dave Dodson, and I'm the author of The Manager's Handbook. Now, at first, I might appear to be one of the most unlikely entrepreneurs. My father's farm equipment manufacturing company went under because farming policies had changed in Washington, D.C. And my grandfather's coal mine in Pennsylvania went under completely when a better form of coal was discovered in Wyoming. Nonetheless, those experiences taught me the power of market forces and led me away from wanting to invent the next big thing or trying to see around corners. Instead, I wanted my success or failure to be based on my ability to get things done. Since joining the faculty at Stanford University, I've spent a lot of time researching why some people are just better than others at getting things done. And I'm bringing you along on my journey of 5 surprising insights that I learned as I wrote The Manager's Handbook. The first insight was to debunk what I call the attribute theory that explains why some people are inherently better than others at getting things done. Now, starting with the common attribute theory, if you search on Google for attributes of entrepreneurs, you're going to find over 350 million results. Things like creative, passionate, risk-tolerant, extrovert, introvert, good at public speaking, etc. Yet my research showed that none of those were universal characteristics of people that were effective managers. Some were great in sports, some were lousy. Some were bipolar, some were geniuses, some went to Stanford, and some didn't even graduate from college. As a result, I buried this simplistic notion that effective leaders had to have certain attributes at birth. And I got excited about the idea that leadership wasn't limited to a specific gender, looking a certain way, or coming from a particular school or zip code. My review of this attribute theory led me to observe other patterns, though, among different people. Patterns that were centered around skills. 5 of them, in fact. See, it turned out that all these people shared expertise and excellence in 5 skill areas. And there were no exceptions. Their personality attributes varied, but their command of these skills did not. It was true for Dwight Eisenhower, Martin Luther King, or Oprah Winfrey, and Bill Gates. And this discovery excited me, because as I said before, if the key to effective managers is a set of management skills instead of attributes that are awarded at birth, well, then becoming a leader was open to almost anyone. Whether it was sending rockets into space or drilling wells undersea, exceptional leaders shared 5 common skill characteristics, and they could be learned and applied by pretty much anyone, including you. Those skills form the basis for the manager's handbook, and they were 1, a commitment to building a team, being a fanatical custodian of time, a willingness to seek and take advice, setting and adhering to priorities, and an obsession with quality. At Stanford, I see scores of theories, observations, and research reports, though, that go nowhere. Few of them change how people behave or manage. And you know what? I had no interest in that. I wanted to learn how to take this insight, these 5 skills, and make it useful. I thought to myself, how could this insight change the behavior of everyday managers? Well, then I had my 3rd insight when I watched someone play the piano. Now, I love watching people play the piano. I'm fascinated by the way the fingers move across the 88 keys. And as I watched this woman play a piece by Rachmaninoff, I realized that we master playing the piano by combining a set of sub-skills. For example, one needs to know how to read music, how to position their fingers across the keyboard while navigating 88 black and white keys, and they have to know the difference between a sharp and a flat. See, it's mastering these sub-skills, which are within, by the way, most people's abilities, that represent the difference between playing chopsticks or Paul McCartney's Let It Be. In the same way, the manager's handbook breaks each of these 5 skills of great leaders into easily accessible sub-skills. And there's no shortcut. Just like you can't learn to play the piano without learning to read a sharp or a flat, You can't build a team if you don't know how, for example, to do a reference check. At that point, I thought my work was complete. That wasn't until the afternoon I was talking with my friend, Professor Michael Porter of Harvard University. I was at his home in Brookline, Massachusetts. Now, Professor Porter is author of 19 books on leadership, including the seminal piece on strategy and competitive strategy. I remember what Fortune magazine said about Professor Porter. He said he's influenced more executives than any other business professor on earth. Now, Professor Porter had read the manuscript, and he told me I'd presented the material incorrectly. I wasn't happy to hear that, but he said I'd failed to recognize that the five skills that I described interrelate. And if I weren't careful, my reader would pick and choose which sub-skills they wanted to implement and ignore those harder, more tedious ones. I'd not created a checklist, but instead a unified implementation principle. He went so far as to say that the five skills of leadership that I had developed will do to implementation what his five forces had done to how we think about strategy. He shared with me that you can't set and adhere to priorities, which is a skill number four, if you're not good at managing your own time, which is skill number two. That you can't achieve maximum quality, skill number five, without a good team, skill number one. By way of example, despite starting over 50 years later in one of the oldest businesses on the planet, Sam Walton did circles around JCPenney, Target, and Kmart. And it wasn't because Sam Walton invented the department store. It was because he hired better people. He maintained his focus. He listened to advice, and he managed his time carefully. And he was obsessed with quality and how his customers define quality. Now, Sam Walton may have run his meetings differently than my book suggests. Still, he did run effective meetings. And this is why you can't reach your potential unless you're willing to master all five of these skills, including, as Michael Porter told me, even the ones you don't want to do. Professor Porter realized that turbocharging happens when all five skills come together. Put more simply, the sub-skills were not additive, but they were in fact multiplicative. Apple Computer recently became the first $3 trillion company. And Steve Jobs is commonly known for having a form of X-ray vision that combined technology with a view towards what consumers want. And yet, that wasn't his primary superpower. Steve Jobs' superpower was a set of five skills and his commitment to insist on those practices throughout his entire organization, not just himself. Jobs didn't invent the portable computer. That honor falls to an unknown entrepreneur named Andrew Kay, whose company, K-Pro, went bankrupt. The computer mouse was invented by Douglas Engelbart, who was working at the Stanford Research Institute. Never heard of him either, I bet. Sony created portable music, not Apple. And IBM invented the smartphone, not Apple. Actually, Jobs invented very little, and he uncovered very few markets. But he was masterful at building an entire organization that embraced the five skills. In the manager's handbook, I cite him not as a savant or a genius, but as the best example, alongside Sam Walton, who, by the way, also invented nothing, of a leader who brought together the five skills across the organization. The most admired companies and organizations apply these skills holistically and institutionally. And that is Steve Jobs' real superpower at Apple. That led to my last challenge, which was presenting this material in a way that a busy leader could quickly, efficiently, and effectively master. I knew that the way we taught business skills in the classroom and the way we wrote books were broken, and I wanted to find a better way. Now, for example, not too long ago, I got an email from the Harvard Business Review offering a piece on running a good management meeting. I clicked on it. After all, I'm interested in how to run meetings better. And I saw it was a 241-page piece. Who has time for that? There are entire books on just running meetings, or hiring, or delegating, or time management. And so it goes. Now, the material is often good. But who of us leading organizations have the time to read thousands of pages to, frankly, get a dozen pages of useful content? And by the way, I should know. I remember barely having time for meals in my early days as a CEO, let alone time to spend my evenings and weekends reading book after book after book on management. Instead, with these five sets of skills, I set out to write a how-to manual for everyday leaders like you and me. It's not my aim to fill pages in a book, but to get a reader the vital information in the most efficient way possible. And in service to this, I describe each subskill in as few words as possible. My dream for the manager's handbook is to bury the notion that you must look a certain way, come from a specific background, or go to a particular school to effectively lead and manage an organization. I set out to write a book that would unlock the true characteristics of those who are really good at getting things done, and then present that material in a way that busy people who are running an organization can quickly learn and put into practice. I hope you enjoy The Manager's Handbook.
Thank you, David. That was David Dodson with five big ideas from The Manager's Handbook, five simple steps to build a team, stay focused, make better decisions, and crush your competition. You might also check out our book bite for Power to the Middle, Why Managers Hold the Keys to the Future of Work. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.